Why would I ever let you do another intro?
I like how you just started the show with that.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't let you do it.
Take it away, man.
You know what I'm saying? I would never let you do another intro, bro. You killed it. You had several opportunities. You can't do it anymore, bro.
All right, just go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast, man. I'm your host, James Abrams. The other host over here is Chad Abraham. You know, grateful.
What does that even mean?
I'm grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you.
I'm glad to see you.
You know what I'm really grateful for?
What?
Round two of my man Beyond. Appreciate you, man.
Beyond.
Thanks for having me.
In the building. Hey, look, I'm excited about Beyond being here.
I'm really happy to.
I'm not excited about you being here, but Beyond being here, I'm excited about.
It's okay, bro. It's cool. Let me tell you, the first time we had you on, it was during our quarantine set of, you know, episodes. And the audio on my end was not the greatest. And my headphone kept hitting my collar.
What did I tell you? You did.
And I got to say, Beyond, you had some nuggets in that episode. And we got a lot of positive remarks from that. So we had to have you come back, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Everybody kept giving us great feedback. Like,
you made us seem like we were smart.
We just at the table getting the crumbs. Right. You know what I'm saying? We're not really the smart people. We just know that, like, oh, yeah, I'm with him. You know what I'm saying? I'm with Beyond. You know what I'm saying? But that's how it worked, though, man. Sometimes, you know what I mean? If you just attach to the man, you get in good positions. And sometimes you got to be smart enough to know when you attach to the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and also humble enough as a man to be like, yo, he the man. And that's cool. Bro, like, I've never had a problem with that. You know what my problem is?
Talk about all of them, please.
Not all of them. I can't.
We got time.
My therapist charges me a lot of money for that. My problem is I want to be Robin. I want to be Robin to a Batman. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sending me subliminal messages?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I wouldn't mind being a Robin, bro. I wouldn't mind being like
Scotty.
Scotty Pippen, number two guy pushed. Yeah. Like, I'm always forced to be number one because when I see things not being executed, especially with excellence, then I'm like, okay, you don't want to take this over. Let me take it over. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want, like in my spirit, I'm like, I'm cool. You can have all the shine, all the credentials, as long as we getting the job done and people getting what they need and we're handling business. I'm cool with that. But sometimes when I try to be number two or the two guy, it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Beyond, one of the things that I noticed, so it appears like you got your whole family in on what you're doing, building something pretty epic. Would that be a correct?
Not my whole family.
Okay.
But my kids, like most of my kids, are interested in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so we kind of partner together.
So that's a testimony to the man you are, right?
For sure.
Because, like, as a man, the two things you chase the most are impact and influence, right? And so one of the things that the biggest impact you can have is on your kids and your family. So in the legacy that you create, and if your family and your kids are following you, then you're doing something great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think especially, like, you know, the idea of, like, you being a hero everywhere. Kurt Warner spoke on this. Being a hero to everybody except in your own home to your kids.
Yeah. Oh, it's easy. You know,
he had just come off a MVP Super Bowl championship. Kids couldn't have cared less.
Couldn't care less.
You know what I mean?
Couldn't care less. Hey, Dad, where's the Nerf ball? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Man,
that speaks very highly what you're doing. The other thing, bro. I'm about to tell myself a little bit. So early on, after we had first met you, I was noticing you kept posting these day parties, and I'm like, how many? I wasn't really piecing it together. The way you push that though is so crazy because you had me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. Really thinking you had these day parties. I'm like, damn, what kind of job? He's at day parties on a Tuesday. What? Like, so maybe just explain a little bit, like, how, like, your thinking behind that. First of all, what it is. And then, like, how it kind of took off.
So the day party, well, let me correct that. The Wins day party.
Gotcha.
Is actually me and my sons going to the gym, our regular weekly routine. That's what the Wins Day Party is, aka Day Party. The thinking behind the Day Party is when you when you look at life and understand that life is psychology. So it's either you can use psychology to work with you or you can use it to work against you. Mm. Most people don't understand that. So they're using psychology to work against them, continuing to tell their self negative things about themselves. Mm. You got the freedom to tell yourself any story. So why tell yourself a negative story? Right? So
yeah.
So it's just me understanding psychology. So if you switch, you know, just going to the gym, if you switch that to I'm going to the day party, psychologically, that sounds exciting. You're more pumped up to get to the gym.
Yeah.
It sounds exciting. It sounds like a lot of fun. So again, it's psychology.
That's so true, because when you're doing workouts, like just say you're doing a workout and it's something that you hate, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I got to run today. And the minute you start putting that, oh, I got to run, like feeling onto that, then that workout becomes harder. It's rigor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But versus, though, yo, I'm excited. I get to run today. I'm excited. I'm about to burn some people. Then you're excited. Like, imagine little kids. Little kids, they're outside running like crazy.
All day.
They're not even tired because they're not even thinking about being tired. They're thinking about, oh, this is fun. I get to run and use my legs. How ungrateful are we as people to just get older and be like, man, I'm so tired. I don't want to run. Yeah, I appreciate that. Like, your ability to even be able to run, to be able to go out there and run and have wind and lungs and legs and stuff to move, that's something we take for granted, man. So, yeah. So, I understand. It's definitely a party. It's a party. It's
when you think about it, like, we know that we should do a lot of things. That don't mean that we're going to do those things.
Facts.
So, if we want a 90% chance of getting those things done, we got to use our psychology to work with us to get it done.
I'm with you. Man. Yeah. And it's funny because as you're saying it, I'm sitting here like, I can see those moments in my life where I talk, I basically talk shit to myself to do it or talk myself out of it.
So Sunday, I did something called a 5-minute squat challenge. So the 5-minute squat challenge, you got to squat 135 pounds for 5 minutes and you can't put the bar down. You got to hold it the whole 5 minutes. So I was terrified to do this workout. I'm not even gonna lie, bro. I was so terrified because I've seen, I was like, and I saw that the people who did it, just their reaction, like the agony on their face, the pain in their legs and stuff like that. I was like, I gotta do this because I'm scared to do it. I'm like, I'm scared to do this workout, so I have to do this workout.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then I did it. A minute into the workout, my back started getting tight. My shoulders started hurting. My legs started hurting. I said, damn. I got 4 more minutes to go of this. I said, this is going to get bad. The one thing that kept me motivated is, one, I'm not a quitter. You know what I'm saying? And two, I saw my little daughter. She's sitting there. She might not even remember this day. She might not remember this day. But she's sitting there watching. She was watching TV. Then once I started working out, she started watching me. And I saw her watching me. She's like, daddy. I'm like, I can't quit in front of my daughter. I don't want her to learn or see me quitting or failing in front of her. So I couldn't allow myself to quit during that workout. But I'm telling you, it hurt. But the mental fortitude or mental calluses I built from that workout, I can't wait to apply them to life. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's all working out is. It's just you taking this stuff, you learning these things, and you're able to apply it to life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You got a guy like David Goggins. He was saying... Once you feel like you've reached that point where you can't go any further, mentally you can go 40% more.
Yeah.
And so I think about the times like, man, when I thought I was at the brink, man, I wasn't even close.
Basically, you're not at the brink of physical exhaustion until you get like rhabdo or some shit like that.
I don't even know what that means.
Rhabdomyolysis is when your body basically shuts down.
Oh, like passing out?
No. It shuts down your kidneys. I mean, like your organs start to shut down. Like,
oh, man, that don't sound like that.
Yeah, that's rhabdomyolysis. That's what a lot of CrossFitters used to get back in the day. Like a lot of CrossFitters used to get like rhabdo because they was just going so hard. You know what I'm saying? So they started programming and doing stuff a little bit better. But yeah, that was a big thing because they would just push guys, push. But you have to be so damn strong mentally to even push yourself to that level.
Right.
To even get rhabdo, like you know how in shape you gotta be to even get rhabdo. You know what I'm saying? Not just physically, but mentally too. You gotta be in shape. Like,
without getting a cramp first.
Yeah, you got a cramp. All right, I'm good, player. It's cramp. Sit out a couple minutes. I'm good, man.
So beyond, so you blessed this one time. I appreciate this. Quotes and confirmation. This is your second edition.
Correct.
You want to maybe talk about how? First of all, this I'm always curious when someone comes up with some kind of work that is along this line, but just a book in general. How long did it take you to put this together?
7 days.
And what made you do the quotes and confirmations? Yeah. I mean, like versus like a tell-all book. You know what I'm saying? Like, what made you do the quotes? Because I think like those books are telling our histories and stuff is cool. But I think these type of books are good for like future and now. And you know what I'm saying? So what made you do this?
Well, plus they're timeless.
Yeah, versus something else.
Yeah,
I think with the quotes and confirmations, I knew it would be faster. Because it's stuff that I come up with stuff. You could just name a topic and I can come up with quotes just like boom, 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 boom. So that comes naturally to me. That was one reason. The second reason is people's attention spans is short. Mm. So I hit them with bullets. Boom, 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 boom. Boom. Yeah. And you can open up the book anywhere. Like you don't have to, don't start at page one. You just open it up anywhere and something gonna hit you. You know, it's fast, it's straight to the point. So I got your attention.
I kind of want to put you on the spot. He said he could name any topic.
No, but what before
you maybe, do that. Maybe think of Sway.
Before you do that. I saw one of your posts and you were breaking down a tree. You were explaining the tree. You were talking about going out on the limb. Can you explain that? Can you break that down for our audience? Can we get a little bit of that story? Break it down for it.
So basically what I said was, it's crowded at the bottom of the tree around the trunk. It's crowded. So when you think of life, it's crowded around the trunk. Mm-hmm. But the fruit is out on the limb. It's not crowded out on the limb. Most people are not going out on the limb. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. People like comfort. They're used to comfort. They don't like turbulence. Mm-hmm. They don't like trials, tribulations, but If they just pay attention to life or pay attention to somebody else's life, you look at it and you reflect, like, hold up. It's a reason why the fruit is out on the limb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, at the trunk. Like, you got to go out on a limb. You got to get uncomfortable.
And by the time it comes down by the trunk, it's already old.
It's rotten already. It's rotten. Like, don't, like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, he did it again, man.
So why do you think most people, like, I mean, I'm saying, like, you said they're comfortable.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like it's people like you, it's other motivators, it's people that have come in the world who have this light, and that you shine this light, and you show people, like, yo, you comfortable, you this. Why do people, when they hear that, they don't make action steps? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think keeps people from making action steps?
I think it's a few things. One of the things is we've been programmed to kind of be okay with just being okay. Mm. So I call it the $1 trillion distraction industry, whether it's social media, TV, and all these other things that don't have nothing to do with your goals and your dreams. Mm. So most of the time, most people distracted. Most people activities that don't line up with the life that they say they want to live. That's by design. When we got here, we didn't get here and say we just gonna be comfortable. When we got here, just imagine, like, you got a baby, right?
Yeah.
Like, when kids come, like, they're curious, they want to do everything. You ask them what they want to be. I'm gonna build planets, like, do all these things. And then by the time they get to 6th or 7th grade, things change. Yeah. What happens? It's the program by design. Your environment by design,
education.
To make you education. Like, how can you grow if the teacher got the answers to the tests already? If the teacher already got the answers to the test, it's no room for your creativity, your genius. Mm. It's no room for it. Think about that.
Yeah.
You're forced to dumb down your genius. Because you worried about getting it wrong. You forced not to collaborate. In school, they say you collaborate. Okay, that's cheating. And what where I grew up at, it's like, okay, if all y'all together on the block, that's a problem. Yeah, but this is how you thrive in life.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. we had this conversation. I had this conversation with a middle school kid the other day about math because they're having some challenges understanding this particular method that the math teacher wanted them to master or know. And I was trying to show them another way to get to the answer. Math is a good example of that because it doesn't have to be one route. There's many different ways to get an answer. And the kid was like, no, that's not what my teacher wants us to do. And in my mind, I'm like, this kid is a fourth grader, maybe a third grader, and already has a mindset of what he shouldn't be doing to figure something out. And that's a dangerous place. Education, and I've believed this for some time, our idea of education as far as in our country stifles creativity.
By design.
By design.
It's a program. Yeah. So you're getting programmed, like you're putting a chip into it. It's a program. When you watch TV, that's the program. Like, it's a program. And so subconsciously, we don't understand it. Now we do, but we don't understand it. Like growing up, like you planting a seed, the wrong seed in your subconscious mind, and you wondering how you ending up in these places that you don't like. So imagine if the seeds were planted in our mind from ancient Egypt, Kemetics, pyramids. Imagine if those seeds were planted in us from the beginning.
We'll be builders.
We'll be builders.
We talk about it all the time. We talked about it before about our purpose is to create something.
Yeah.
Like that's part of our design innately is to build something, create something.
Don't you feel better once you create something? You put something like creating something, it makes you feel good. Like when you take something, especially like, man, I've been blessed to be able to start stuff from the ground up and just watch it grow. Like when I started my gym business, I tell people I only have $500 to my name. You know what I'm saying? Ended up making over six figures in 1 year. But I've never made that much working a job, I've never made that much before. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, I only had $500 and I was scared. You know what I'm saying? And I tell people all the time, like, do it while you're scared. Do it anxious. But I was able to like create something and watch it grow. And then not go around see people wearing like Wolfpack shirts or doing different stuff. I'm like, yo, I created that. Like that's dope. You know what I'm saying? Like I started this thing. You know what I mean? Then, you know, other people join then too. Like when you create something too and it's something good, people gonna join you. They're gonna wanna be a part of it. Like, oh, that's I relate to that. You know what I'm saying? Let me be a part of that.
So, people wanna be a part of something moving forward.
Yeah.
Typically, you know.
I agree.
If you have glimpses of success or whatever you want to call it, favor, you know, accomplishment, people cling to that.
My dad used to say, even a loser want to hang with a winner. Even a loser want to hang with a winner. I was like, true indeed. True indeed, man. Well, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of stuff I created, you know what I'm saying? Same as plug.
I thought you better say, speaking of losers that wanted to be winners. Go ahead and throw a jab in, man.
I feel you, but you can't beat me in nothing. But anyways, this is a buy-in. This is my progress tracker. Guys, I created this book, man, because something that Beyond talked about, too many distractions in the gym. So I created this book so I can put my cell phone down. I'm tired of going to the gym. Because like if I go to put my workout in, if I use an app or something, I end up on some other app. I'm on social media. I'm doing some other app. I'm taking a call. I'm looking at a text message.
Taking pictures. Terrible pictures.
Whatever. I want to be.
Not speaking about you in general.
I'm taking selfies in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? That's what people do in the gym. But I created this book so I wouldn't be distracted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So guys, you can check it out on our BAM shop. I'll post the link in the show notes, but definitely create this book. So if you guys are like me, also I have on here a daily food log, Chad.
I don't know you.
Yeah, you need it.
I don't even know why you did that.
Yeah, a daily food log. So you can see where your daily food log and your workouts, they all on the same. You know what I'm saying? On the same pages. So you keep track of your workouts, keep track of your food log, so you can help you get results. And sometimes, if you're not tracking, it's hard to make progress. You know what I'm saying? If you're not tracking your numbers.
You know what would have killed it? If you had perforated pages.
You could tear it out?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That's cool. But I do have a couple like inspirational little quotes in here. Some from Ali, some from Bruce Lee. People I like, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. Dope. And I got like a couple of those. How to set smart goals. You know what I'm saying?
Proud of you, man.
Yeah. 10 things that require zero talent. Because, yeah, I was on a show, a podcast a week ago, and one of the guys I was on the show with, he was a phenomenal athlete. His name is Evan. And we just talked about, he's like, man, he has so much respect for, like, my knowledge and skills of the game, even at a young age. And I told him, I was like, that's because I wasn't the most talented guy. So to me, I had to know the game so I could make a read faster than everybody else because I wasn't as fast as everybody else. But if I knew the play, I can always get there. I made a lot of tackles just from knowing the play. You know what I'm saying? And so I say, like, talent is great and it's good if you fast, but that's only the icing on the cake. You need to have the cake. You need to know. You know the game?
Yeah, the wit can outweigh the talent.
Yeah.
If you know how to.
Because by the time Ray Lewis got in his older, like, later in his years, he was making hella plays, but he was slow, old, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but he still was a beast.
Yeah, yeah. It's like them dudes, they always got that one older guy on the court playing the pickup.
Oh, man.
And they know how to work their hip. They're not getting up and down the court.
They know.
But give them that little 5 foot area, you know, they're going to put their hip on you and they're going to call a foul and, you know.
Make the point. Yeah, you look bad. Do you feel like there's such thing as grown man strength? Like, you a strong cat. Like, you be in the gym lifting, doing some numbers, you know what I'm saying? So, do you think there's such thing as grown man strength, or were you always strong?
I wouldn't say I was always strong. I think that I developed that by my consistency, continuing to show up, wanting to get stronger, and not settling for anything less.
Yeah. Consistency, Chad.
Because when you think about it, I'm 47, right?
Okay.
So I'm 47, and pound for pound, I'm stronger than most people that I know.
By far.
So that comes from the focus and the commitment compounded over years.
Do you think you'll ever stop working out?
No. Never. That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. But kind of like we talked about earlier. You doing that is probably the reason why your kids want to come to your day parties.
Absolutely, because my sons, my first son, my oldest son, the taller one,
yeah,
he hated working out. So he used to come to the gym probably like once every blue moon. He couldn't do a pull-up, couldn't do a push-up, couldn't do a dip. And what happened was I stayed consistent. Mm. And so he continued to see me over the years, continued to see me. And then seeing the results, and so he started going back to the gym with me. Yeah. Then what happened was, like with anything, he started being consistent, and then his shirt started to fit.
Yeah.
Then somebody get a compliment.
Yeah.
And then now he work out more than I do. Mm. And so then his brother followed suit, which is my other son. He went into none of that, but he seen his big brother consistency, and you know probably. People, girls complimenting him, yeah, and he's like, you know what? And so now he addicted.
That's how I go. Commercial. Yeah.
That's a good way. Hey, James, I don't know about you, but every time I try out a product that maybe I haven't tried out before, a new product on the shelf, I'm always super eager to tell my friends about it because I want them to experience what I did.
Yeah, because you got a big mouth. You need to shut up.
Yeah, sometimes right. That's true. Sometimes
it's true. Okay, so why not do it easier? Put your stuff on the podcast. You want to advertise it. Guys, it's $250 to be featured at the top of our show, or $150 to be in the middle of the show, or $50 to be put in at our discretion. Basically, best on the floor of the show. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why not do it that way, Chad?
Yeah, and you know what? I like sometimes you see a show and they got some really cool stuff like a mug or a hat or a whatever it may be on their table.
True.
We could do that too.
We definitely can do your product placement here, guys. So if you're interested, make sure you hit us up at
tfafpod@gmail.com.
Yes, y'all. That's tfafpod@gmail.com, y'all. We would love to have your products on here. Hit us up. Let's get you going.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, look, bro. You know what I'm saying?
You got these too, don't you?
Listen,
you
got a pair of these. I just bought a new pair of Jordans, right?
Wait, are we starting?
Yeah, we start. So I just bought a pair of Jordans. I bought the 11s.
Low top Jordans.
Low top Carolina blue. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know why I buy Jordans now?
No idea.
Because when I was younger, I couldn't afford it.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's low key why I buy them, man. Because I couldn't afford them. I was one of those kids. Please don't get my parents because they love me and care about me. I was one of those kids who had to use the address so I can go to school in Cleveland Heights. You know what I'm saying? Because I was going to school in the hood and the hood was... just rough. I got in a lot of trouble, got into a lot of fights, different stuff. You know what I'm saying? So my parents were like, yo, you're not going to keep being bad down here. You're going to go to another school with your cousins in Cleveland Heights. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? We didn't come from a lot of money. Plus, like, my parents, they provided for us, took care of us. Like, I won't say we were poor or anything, but they didn't have Jordan money. My budget on shoes, I remember to this day, was $79. That was my price range of how much.
You could have got some Tim's still.
I could have got some nice shoes. I got nice shoes, but I didn't get Jordans. Jordans was $100, $120 at the time.
My mom was like, $120.
Like, nah, you're not getting no Jordans. So now I buy Jordans because I can. You know what I'm saying? But that being said, I never felt the need to reduce myself down to buy some team Jordans. And to this day, I'm not rocking with team Jordan. I respect the players. You know, they just signed Zion. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's team Jordan
now? Team Jordan now.
Zion. Is he team Jordan or is he the brand team Jordan?
He's part of the brand, the team, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like team Jordan brand. Him, they got him, Russell Westbrook. They got a couple. CP3, Carmelo Anthony. They got quite a few players, but... Yeah,
I'm never wearing none of those.
Never.
Ever.
I'm never wearing them. So, smash or pass, Team Jordan.
Like, in my heart, I want to try to smash just even a little bit.
Just to support a little bit.
It's so hard, though, man. It's so hard. Yeah, I don't even...
I don't feel like... Do they have the same designers? Like, I feel like the Team Jordans are always just so extra. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're always so different. Like, why are you doing so much to these shoes?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
It's always so much extra. So I can't rock with the Team J's, but I just can't do it, bro. I would never do it. I'm sorry, man. Even though CP3, like, he's done so much for, like, black colleges and stuff like that, and he's a pretty cool dude, seems to be. But, nah, I'm sorry, CP3. You got to get your own Nikes or something.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever heard a kid say, I don't get those new CP3s.
Never?
No.
Never heard that?
No. Plus, he's not really. But there's other guys, too, that aren't.
I think those Nike. Zions might sell.
Let me tell you something. He had to go Team Jordan because of them. Remember he blew out the sole?
He blew out the sole on the Nikes.
I wonder what happened, what resulted from that. He had any kind of.
But you know what, though? Like, maybe because we're old, though. Because, like, would you ever wear a pair of Under Armour basketball shoes?
I just... What? Are old? What are you talking about?
Would you wear a pair of Under Armour basketball shoes?
You heard he said, right?
We're old. Man, I said, maybe we're old.
Oh, maybe we're old. They said because we're old.
But would you wear a pair of Under Armour shoes? Basketball. The Steph Currys.
Okay. Yeah, you're really specific. No.
Okay.
Would I wear Under Armour shoes? Yeah.
But kids like those Steph Currys.
Well, because again, people want to be like him, so people are gonna you typically want to emulate who you want to be like. So if he had on, I don't know, some ponies, think about Puma. Think about
Puma got some pretty sweet basketball
now,
shoes.
Yeah, right. But look how they've evolved. They got neon colors. They got that gum bottom. They got they don't look like Pumas.
What about your boy, the Claw? Kawhi Leonard with the New Balance shoes.
Yeah, I like New Balance. I don't think I'd wear a pair of New Balance basketball shoes.
Yeah, I don't see them. I don't think they're selling.
But who wants to
be? You ever seen anybody wear any New Balance shoes at the gym? Working out? Not even working out.
Certain demographics you might see wearing New Balance to the gym.
Yeah, your senior citizens.
Yes. Okay, you're being nicer.
Your senior citizens wearing New Balance.
Some of our less melanated friends.
Or people from Maryland. New Balance is huge in the DMV. Like, that's their shoes. That's their shoe of choice.
Okay, so Boston, New Balance, big time.
Okay.
Primarily because you got the Boston Marathon. They're like, what's the word? Their main store. I can't think of it. New Balance, like their big headquarter. Under Armour with... Maryland,
okay.
Obviously,
So
would you? So if you had to go Under Armour, you had to go Under Armour or New Balance, you'd go what? Under Armour for the shoe.
For the shoe?
Yeah,
I'd probably go Under Armour.
If you had to go for the shoe, Team Jordan or Dada's? Please tell me you remember Dada's.
Do you remember Dada's?
Supreme.
do.
Would you go? What would you do? He goes with 10 joints and die. With the spinning wheels? What'd you go? Come on. Which one's worse?
That are Team Jordan.
I give me some flip flops.
You better get some flip flops.
Yeah, I might just be like, I don't even play ball, what man. About,
what about the P. Millers? What?
Oh, dude, now you just being ridiculous now. All right. You just being ridiculous.
You know what shoes that were real popular though? Those that I didn't like, but people seem to love them. Those N1 shoes. Those Stephon Marbury, Starberries or whatever.
I had a pair of N1s when I was in middle school.
Why were they so popular? How did they get so pop? Because of the mixtapes. Because
of the mixtapes, yeah. Rucker Park, all that. You know, yeah. And that's when N1 was coming out with the quotes on their shirts. Like, yeah. They had the
hot sauce and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It had its time. But they still sell them. Sells.
I think that's a good point you made.
Thank you.
Sometimes.
Hey. Thank you. We don't say it often, so I appreciate
you're
that.
You're welcome, bro. But sometimes your marketing and like what you represent can sell your product, even if your product isn't even all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that.
Absolutely.
Like, if you got good marketing and an okay product, you gonna sell.
Yeah.
If you got good marketing and a good product, bro.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit. I think that's so key, man. That's so key. Yeah. I think a lot of like trainers, fitness professionals. I can only speak for my industry. They have a good product. They know how to train people. They're good at what they do. They just have no marketing, or they lack
people skills.
People skills, which is crucial to being a trainer. Yeah. I don't know, but
do you think it's partly? And you're an entrepreneur. Do you think it's partly like you have your craft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like some people. I'm just thinking if they have this mindset, like. It shouldn't be my responsibility to also promote myself. Like, people should just see my talent and see my craft and want it. You think people, and ultimately, I would imagine, that's why some people don't make it.
Yeah, but
or
that's...
they burn out or they don't reach their potential.
I think that's cool at the when you reach a certain level, but not when you just getting started. Beyond, like what would you say? Because I know you don't brand yourself like just, like, I'm just one way. Like, you have a brand of, like, empowerment, wellness, money, financial, like how do you like manage your brand? You know what I'm saying?
I don't do a great job with that.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. It's like sometimes people on the outside looking in, they can see something different from you, the actual individual that's looking in the mirror and knowing what you can do, knowing if you ain't put in 100%. And you just kind of, it's kind of cool. So I know that I can do, 100 times more, and I'm not.
So you saying you should be Gary V out here with the knowledge you got with the?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think that most of the time, what us entrepreneurs, we try to take on too much on our own instead of hiring people that are great at the things that you are not great at. So most entrepreneurs, just because you know how to cook, that don't mean that you understand business. So that don't mean you should just open up a business because you know how to cook, because it's different elements to the business. The same thing with working out, the same thing with real estate. And when you look at life, I look at it like sports. The people who win the championships are the people that got dedicated people on a team that sleep, eating, and breathing their position. And they all on one accord in the gym and out of the gym. So when you equate that to entrepreneurship and you put a team together with the focus being on winning a championship, right? Yeah. The focus on winning a championship. So you put together a championship team. You find out, focus on not how, but the who. I don't want to be a point guard, so I need to get a point guard that's dedicated to point guard and all the other positions.
So the same
way in business, marketing and sales, like that's the key. Yeah. And most of us not good at that. We just good at whatever it is that we're good at. Yeah. So we need to bring in those people that are great in those areas.
Or we think we can market because we can post to social media.
Yeah, yeah. Social media is not marketing always.
But even just posting to how you do it. Like, we've had discussions recently about trying to make sure we're doing better at what we're doing too. Because we don't always know how to market ourselves and promote the best way, Just because you can post on Instagram doesn't make you a marketer.
most of us using social media wrong.
Yeah.
Myself included. Compared to the people that I'm connected with and I'm watching how they're monetizing their social media. I'm looking at their posts. I'm looking at the call to action. I'm looking at the funnels when you click on the link. I'm looking at them do free master classes. So I'm watching these people that are experts in that space. And then I'm looking at the other people. And so it's just clear. It's like, man, I'm watching this person. It's like, okay, they great with what they do. But nobody's buying that because they don't know how to monetize the social media.
Yeah.
Man, you know what it is? I think he said a good word. So that's how I know he getting money. He said call to action. Call to action. A lot of people don't even understand what that means. Like my undergrad was in graphic design, then my master's is in business. So because I was a graphic designer, but I realized I had no say-so in what was getting done. So now I went back to school, got my master's so I can become a consecutive. So that way I can have some say-so in the production and what was being created. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want nobody just barking orders at me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So something that most businesses, every business would have on all their ads is call to action. You know what I'm saying? And so any of you guys out there that's business people that are making posts, that are doing something, you got to have a call to action. Make it easy for people to connect with you, even if they're just connecting to your email and they get an automatic response, even if they connect into your contact list or whatever, or connect with you and also to pay you. If you in 2021 are not accepting credit card payments, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, whatever, right now, you're a decade behind. You're a decade behind because you need, make it easy. I want to spend money with you, bro. You say, oh, bro, I only take cash. Well, I'm out because I don't even really carry cash like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm telling you guys, entrepreneurs, fitness professionals, whatever, set it up. I will give you some more game, but I have to charge, okay? I will tell you some other stuff I have to charge. Playboy, I got some game for y'all. You know what I'm saying? But I have to charge. For sure, man, for sure. Cause people make it too hard, man. I mean, if you're good at what you do, honestly, people want to pay you. They want to put money in your hand. You know what I'm saying? In my experience.
Plus, I think you also have a small, when you're dealing with customers, you got a small window of when they're going to pay. It's like yep. any little hiccup. I got to go to another page. I don't even want this anymore.
I'm out.
You know? So you streamline it. Simple as possible.
Yeah.
No.
Are you gonna do any master classes? I know you've done like different programs and stuff. Are you doing any master classes coming up soon or anything?
Got a class coming up on the 29th and the 30th. Okay. 2-day infield training with the pros, real estate class, hands on for people that are like, you know, hands on and learning real estate and actual properties.
Now I know nothing about real estate. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I do realize that I'm involved in real estate. In the game, if you have a house or property or whatever, you're in the real estate game, period. You just might just be a pawn. You know what I'm saying? I'd be a pawn in the game. So could someone like me who knows nothing about real estate, could I come to a class, learn, and then go out there and get some money?
Absolutely. It's not an overnight process. I'm still learning. I've been in the game 20 plus years, and I'm still learning and fine-tuning different things. So, but definitely, I mean, this specific class is geared towards individuals that's interested in investing in the Cleveland real estate market or already investing in the market, but they're stuck. So it's specifically designed for individuals that want to participate in the game in Cleveland, Ohio, because it's one of the hottest markets in the country.
Well, how many, could you guesstimate like how many hours a day you're spending focused directly on your brand? In real estate.
How many hours? It varies. I would say 2 to 4 hours a day.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
I got other people involved, so it don't demand all of my attention.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier, like hiring people and working with other people. How do you know when someone's a good fit for what you're trying to achieve? Like, why do you know, like, that person's like, yo, this is a good fit. I'm going to let them be on my team. How do you know?
Sometimes you could tell just paying attention to energy. I'm always paying attention to energy. So even if you may have all the resources, I'm not paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. You may know a million people. You may have a million followers. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm paying attention to your energy. Yeah. And then you still, then they still may not work out, but that's a chance that I'm willing to take. But used to focus on the capital. This person saying, okay, I could put up a million. I'm just focused on the money. Yeah. But what I've come to realize is when you focus on the money, like you sidetracked already and you almost guaranteed to lose with that person when you focus on the money and you override the sign that the energy not right. And that's in any relationship, whether any relationship, think about it. When you reflect back on any relationship that went bad, the sign presented itself and you overrode the sign. It's simple. It's being simple, man. Like, this life is not rocket science. Like, we make it difficult. Yeah. Like, we want what we want. We greedy. And we continue to override the signs. But the signs are right there. What makes you think that this person, y'all didn't get along and with this title, and then now you're about to go into business with this person?
Yeah.
You know that your homie ain't never paid you back since y'all was teenagers. And so now you're going to go into business together? That don't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It don't make sense.
Now, see, that's a good point. So now that you're in business, you're successful, you know what I'm saying? How many of your friends have tried to, like, come in the game? And, like, how do you deter them? Like bro, I can't work with you. Like, how do you, like, cause that's a hard conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. How do you handle that conversation?
It's not a hard conversation for me.
Oh, okay.
you probably get that quite often.
I don't really get that because people that's like friends or people that I used to hang out with, they know that, like, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. The same thing I want you to do for me. That's how we get to our highest heights, being around people that's going to hold you accountable. So people that know that they're full of shit, they're not going to come to me talking about, you know, partnering up, but I know that you're full of shit. You know that I know that you're full of shit.
I smell what you're serving.
So that's why I work with my kids. Like, those have been the best partnerships in my life. You know, I can remember years ago trying to get my friends to get involved in real estate. I'm like, listen, man, like, we ain't got to be in the jungle. We ain't got to risk lives and all that. Like, this is real. I had my first real estate check in my pocket for like a month. Showing it to him, like, listen, like, this is real. Like, I got a real check. And they weren't interested. They weren't interested. And I think it was, you know, by the grace of God. It's funny how it worked out to where, you know, like, kids grow up fast. Mm. And it's like, now I'm doing business with my kids. I'm hanging out with my kids.
Right.
You know, my kids owning properties and flipping properties and getting checks. And it's
is such a testament to you. Because, you know, you're those that live in your household are typically your biggest critics.
Yeah.
Because they see the parts that
they see the dents. They see the chinks in the armor. You know what I'm saying? Right, so they look for it, you know?
So for you to be able to build with your family, I got to say, man, that's what I think what intrigues me the most is that you're not just building to support your family, but you're then empowering. You know what I mean?
That's my legacy. That's my definition of legacy. Mm. Most people, the definition is different. But for me, I just don't pay attention to cute sayings that, you know, the culture or people say, and I just follow it. No, I look at certain things and like, okay, you're a dream chaser. No, I'm not a dream chaser. If I'm a dream chaser, that means I'm asking, why are my dreams running? Like, that don't make sense to me. I'm not chasing dreams. Yeah, and when people talk about legacy, a lot of people talk legacy and they talk generational wealth because it sounds good and everybody talking about it. I don't want to sound good. I want to look at that and am I really doing that? Do I really feel that? Or I'm just saying that because I'm on a podcast or I'm on Instagram. So for me, legacy, I'm not building a legacy for my kids. I'm building a legacy with my kids. Why? Because when I do my research and study, most of the people that I came up with, the few people that I came up with that parents left them some money. I remember like yesterday, like they balling out of control. Money gone. Seen somebody else. Everything got left to them. Money gone. So most people, they're not equipped to manage assets or build assets. So if you leave them $100,000 or $250,000 or $500,000, what's going to happen? So if I built it for my kids, that's not legacy. I wouldn't be secure when I leave here, even though I wouldn't know. But when I look at what's going on, I was like, okay, the best way is to build it with them. The ones that want to get on the field, want to suit up. So when I'm gone, whenever I leave, it's inside of you. They can never forget the experiences that we had, the problems that we solved.
Yeah, yeah.
They can never forget that. And then what happens when they have kids?
Same thing.
They're going to do the same thing that they did. So that's legacy.
Now you just build it.
That's legacy.
Build.
I got chills. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yes, legacy. Like thinking you get that to your daughter. Like y'all together building. Y'all going to the title company, closing deals. Y'all going to the bank, opening up accounts, cashing checks, traveling the world.
Yeah.
Like what is she going to do?
Yeah. I've never been more motivated than having a kid, bro. Mm. When you have a kid, that's like an extra battery. Like, boom, somebody put a battery in your back. Like, oh, okay, I got to do something for this kid. Like, I got to make sure that she good. And then also, like, I'm trying to teach her certain values and principles. Like, yo, this is how your daddy get down. Like, all that I'm tired shit, that don't matter. Like, none of that matters. Like, you got to get the job done. You know what I'm saying? Period. Because the difference between you and the next man is, something I realize is it's a lot of people who make excuses for stuff. And you can be one of them people, or you can be the person that's making it happen. You can make excuses, or you can make it happen. So I got to install that in her. That's why I said when I was doing that workout, I could not quit in front of her. I don't care if she's two. I don't want her ever to see me quit. Now that's something I made in my mind. I told myself the other day, I said, a person can defeat me. They can beat me. But I will not beat myself or lose. Just say you bigger, you better, you stronger. But bro, you gonna have to damn near kill me, bro. Cause I'm gonna leave everything else out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna defeat myself. You gonna have to defeat me. Like really, like outskill me, you know what I'm saying? Work me, do something. But that's gonna be hard, bro.
Yeah.
That's gonna be hard. You know what I'm saying? This is my mind. I told myself. That I said I'm not gonna defeat myself. Never, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Well, guys, that's our episode, man. Sorry to wrap it up, man. Thanks, Beyond, for coming through, bro. Always
thanks
coming through,
me.
Man.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
For blessing us,
thank
man.
You.
Always, bro. So any, how can people reach you on social media?
Beyond Wynn, BEYOND, last name Wynn, WYNN. That's on IG and on Facebook.
Make sure you guys get this book.
Quotes and Confirmations, second edition.
Yeah, we have a link up on the description, too, so you guys can purchase that, man. Make it easy for you guys, man. All right, man. But just like that, we out. Peace.
We ain't doing no.